B-Pod Studios.
Tom moves up the middle, throws across the middle, touchdown Edelman!
Julian Edelman plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
We like poking him.
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher Rich.
I'm now getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, I'm in another room again. I've been using Vox Pro. I am so old. I've been in radio for 22 years. I've been using Vox Pro for 22 years. And this is the first time ever that it is broken. To which I would say, it's not good. All right, so, Rich, what do we have going here?
So this is about to be the most wonderful time of the year, and there is something that I know a lot of people like to frown upon, but the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is notoriously the day when people usually of a certain age, between high school and between having your first kid,
right,
that you travel home, and on that Wednesday night is one of the biggest local bar nights of the year. Oh, Joe yeah. Murray, are you familiar with
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah. We used to get in the scraps that night.
Okay.
You then, were getting fights.
Then, oh, you, yeah. then you are going right down my tree. Now, you've been in big fights before in bars.
Well, yeah. I grew up in Boston. So.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kid.
Boston
yeah,
kid. Fights.
So, okay. So, but that was a big night for it. And I know a lot of people like crap on that evening. But I used to love it.
So
like,
did I.
You would see like a ton of friends you hadn't seen before, and then you kind of, you know.
And you could like bang girls because they realized that like it wasn't, the grass isn't always greener.
Right. They've gone off and they thought that they could find their thing over there.
But there was a nightmare situation where girls that were hot had been corrupted, especially their freshman year, and they started wearing patchouli and not shaving.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, you used to be hot and now you've been destroyed by hippies.
I also noticed that even if you had like a, like, loser job, or you like were awful in school or something like that, if you just moved away from that town and came back, instantly that moved up your hotness scale, like your doability scale.
Well, I remember, yeah, like anyone who had a white collar job at like, you know, 22 to 26, I thought was
like, whoa,
like wow, you're making like like you have like a 401k.
So I was thinking about that day coming up, and there was a, I know, I don't know, I assumed for years that everybody knew somebody like this, but then again I realized I lived in the most white trash city probably in the entire world. But there are some parts of the North Shore and up near New Hampshire that I feel right at home, so maybe this is similar with some people. But when I was a kid, there was a friend of mine in our neighborhood whose older brother was obsessed with nunchucks, Chinese oh, yeah. stars.
Oh, no. You're not alone.
Okay. All
I right. told you that my friends, my best friend in middle school and high school, had a brother from, like, a first marriage. And he drove, like, a Camaro, and he would put the keg in the back and, like, run the line around so he could drink while he was driving. Yeah. And he was, like, a super, like... Yeah, he was like Napoleon Dynamite guy, except
yes,
for like
nunchucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
hey man, come on. He's like, I can reset your nose.
He had this awful like samurai sword, which wasn't even the longest one, that he called casita, which I think means house, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Which is in Spanish, casita? I don't know.
Well, because everyone knows the Spanish are huge samurai swords.
Like he had they all come, of his like right. words wrong and nationalities.
There's nothing like the Brazilian samurai sword.
So we would go over to his house, and I remember that he had this videotape. It was a videotape back in the day of self-defense and how to defend yourself. And he would practice it in front of all of us. And it was like he would wait for his little brother to have his friends over, and then he would just randomly, I got to get my workout in. He'd put in the video cassette
yeah,
and start working out in front of us. Like, whoa, look at this cool guy. And even at like 11 years old, we knew this guy was a complete and total loser. So there was one year where I went back. I'd moved out of town. And I met with a bunch of my friends at this local like restaurant. And, you know, the night got a little late. And I saw that dude was there. But I hadn't realized he was there until the moment I saw him stand up and yell something. And a guy at the bar knocked him out.
Yeah. Well, like, he didn't have his weapons.
I don't even know how it started. All I know is I heard this, and all of a sudden, boom, and like you blink of an eye, the dude was lying on the ground. The guy jumped on top and started hitting him in the face. They pulled him away. And I was like, well, there you go. There's Captain Self-Defense. So thinking of that story yesterday, I was like, I got to find that videotape. I got to find the tape that this guy watched for self-defense, because I used to just sit there and laugh at how it was like a guy who was not in shape at all. He would have like the mustache and the headband.
Had to have a mustache.
Oh, of course you did. A self-defense mustache. So
you're defending yourself from all girls.
That's right. Attractive women, stay away. And I couldn't find it, and I'm on a goal to find it, but I did find this. And it's almost the same thing, but it's a couple years later. This sounds to me like it was filmed right around 1998. Maybe even like it's a few years after when this guy was doing his. And this is a gentleman by the name of Bass Rutten. Now, I don't know, Joe Murray, you're the wrestling expert. I know this guy was like an MMA fighter for years. Okay?
Yeah.
But he made his own self-defense video. And here he is. He's this big, like, bald dude. And the setting is crappy bar in the middle of the day. Hmm. And there's this random, like, jamoke who he uses as his dummy to teach you how to self-defend yourself. So here is Bass Rutten teaching you how to kick a little ass in case you you needed it in a bar fight situation.
That's ass kicking music. I don't mean to stop it, and I know people get on my case.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peach Pit.
Yeah, exactly. David Silver as a stalker.
Right, this is like the opening of Saved by the Bell.
Then they go to the Peach Pit after dark with the dojo. Right.
Someone gets Slater. Something's going down in the halls of Bayside.
Hello, and welcome to Boss Rutten's Lethal Street Fighting Self-Defense System.
Okay, I'm stopping, and I apologize. Lethal.
Right, if you want to murder someone, here's how you do it.
Hey, life in prison, all right? There it goes. I have a life in prison idea. A gun. Here's my lethal technique. I pull a gun and shoot you. Why all this crap?
Let me tell you first that I've been around. I've been a bouncer for many, many years, and I've been fighting in the ring, as you know.
Well, he's been a bouncer, so I do enjoy that.
Bass Rutten, I'm being told, is how you pronounce his name.
Okay, I've been Bass Rutten for many, many years.
So I know my things. Now, I was standing like this and talking to the guy, and suddenly, boom, a headbutt. Bang, follow-up at a headbutt. Boom, knee to the head. And looky, look what we got here. Smack his face. Now, this is a very dangerous weapon right here. This is where they put the receipts on.
Okay.
It's the nail that comes out of the thing he's holding up.
Right.
It's like, so he goes to the bar. What are you going to do with that?
So he goes behind the bar, and he grabs where the receipts come out. And then he dissembles the machine to find a sharp object.
No. He's talking about that piece of plastic with the nail sticking straight up that you put the receipts on, that you would smash the receipts onto. It's basically just a giant nail attached to a board.
Oh.
Yeah,
which you could murder someone with.
Yeah, but with a nail sticking out of the top of it.
Well, thanks for the hint. You mean to tell me if I hit something with someone with something with a nail in it, it might cause damage? Well, thank you, sir.
Boom, the right elbow. Bring right straight. Maybe now the headbutt comes. Knee to the face. Elbow to the groin. Grab him. Look, sir, I really don't want anything of this. And I go like this, and I slit your throat.
Again, why don't you just shoot him?
You insult my T-shirt. I send you to the grave.
And I like the guy.
And go to jail.
I like the guy in the corner playing with himself.
he's getting like his head grabbed and like mangled around. Like he's got this redneck dummy friend of his who this dude's basically just letting him beat up.
I just like...
I love the pain. I love violence.
Hey, cut it out. Yeah, you could shoot a guy. You could also get the jugular. Oh, I see. Oh, it's the thing you put the receipts on.
Yeah.
Like, so you would have to go to the kitchen and, like, grab the thing on the kitchen counter.
Pardon me. Can we hold this fight for one moment?
So I can. Okay, I understand now. He didn't make that very clear. Dan just showed me. So when you go to a restaurant and like an order's done, so you'd obviously be the diner and they put it on the nail, the spike, you would pick it up and then you would stab them with it. Thanks for the hint.
I loved the violence.
Yeah. Slow.
And it's over and out. Bang! Right elbow. Boom! Left straight. Kick to the head. Boom! Bang! 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 Boom! Step his own knife here in the liver.
So he disarms the man of his knife.
No, he takes the guy's holding the knife in his hand, and he pushes it towards his liver and says, oopsie daisy.
Well, now I've got you. I've disarmed this gentleman.
Boom! Boom! I'm sorry. Bang! Bang!
He sounds like a 4-year-old playing Superman.
Right. This is little Green Army guys.
Yeah, like, boom, smack into your liver. Let's build a boat in the backyard.
But all of these things end in death. Yeah. Like they all end with a guy dying.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
well,
how many situations have you been in where like you feel you have to murder someone?
Well, I mean, if they step to me wrong, here's how. Let's run away. Here, let's build a boat in the backyard. I have 3 2x4s and some nails.
That combat Jager right there?
It does. It sounds like evil Jager. Yes.
What do I want? My only spike is in my pants. And I saved that to the McGillicuddy twins. Which, who's who? It doesn't matter. You're both getting the same thing.
Jager, what do you want to do with the ladies?
Boom, a headbutt. Bang, follow up in a headbutt.
No. Maybe not the headbutt, but the boom.
They do the head bob, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, whoopsies, you've lost in the pubes. You seem to have been lost in a forest of black hair. I don't know what to do. It's fun for me.
Bang! You would have heard the same.
Bang. It tastes good.
I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
How to commit manslaughter.
Bang, 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 dong, don't you ever do this.
If something happens to you or they touch your family, you got my blessing. Take them out. Hasta la vista.
All right, so, Judge, as the defense attorney, I have to tell you that we have permission from this idiot to kill.
You got my blessing.
We have the man's blessing. And if, I mean, I don't know what else you would need.
Boss Rutan said I could do it. And that is the word of law.
All right.
You got my blessing. Take him out. Hasta la vista, baby. And I got that from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now for some early Eddie porno. This is Boobs a Popping next on the... This is the next thing.
Drop! Boom!
All right, do we want to play the second one?
Sure, why not? It's just more of this guy kicking ass.
And I go, whoop, like this, and I slit your throat.
I slit your throat, and then, you know, I could have just shot you or, you know.
Or resorted to nonviolence, bought you a drink to calm down the situation.
I could have, you know, just carried the knife since I'm always prepared to kill.
Boom, a headbutt. Bang, follow up at a headbutt. Boom, knee to the head.
All right, we will find out more of how to kill people as a public service. We will have that for you in just a moment.
Drop, boom.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Zone.
I know my things.
You're the best.
And, all right, so, Rich, you found this. I'm very thankful that you did.
And I'm learning more about this guy, too, like as it goes on. And this is, as I said, I was looking for this video that a friend of mine's older brother used to practice. It was this self-defense one, which, you know, had this guy with a mustache and a headband, and it was one of the more awful things I've ever seen. And I stumbled across a superstar, Boss Rutten, I think is the name I'm pronouncing it. And I knew he was some sort of fighter because he mentions it at the beginning, but I guess he's like the MMA. Would you say he like fought one of the Hoos?
Yeah, he fought both the Shamrock brothers, Ken and Frank. But
he's did he kill them?
No.
This is how to murder someone.
He may have ended Frank Shamrock, but I'm reading here he's most notorious for bar fights. And I guess he got in a fight in Sweden where he, like, beat up 8 bouncers and ended up in Swedish jail.
That sounds unrealistic, and I'll tell you why. That the place had 8 bouncers.
Well, it might have been like Roadhouse.
Roadhouse only needed one, baby.
No. You see, everyone just remembers Dalton.
Okay.
But Sam Elliott had to come in as backup, and then there was the guy that was stealing money from the till and the bouncer who was having sex with the lady in the bathroom. Come on, dude. You got
all I remember is the blonde guy playing guitar.
The names. Dalton.
Yeah. Jeff Healey, who had a long and glorious career after that movie.
Double douche.
I thought you'd be bigger, and I thought the cassette you put into the car deck would be wider. All right. So, Rich, we've heard that his advice was to somehow get to the kitchen counter, if I'm saying that correctly, and where they stab the tickets that have been served. To take that, which has obviously a large point on it, and to shove that into the jugular of your opponent, and then continue to kick and kneel and do all these things.
And basically just, like, hit people until they are dead.
Right. And to which I would say, why are you not carrying a gun or a large knife? But nonetheless, I guess it's more fun to pick up items around the restaurant to kill people with. But this is another clip, Rich.
Yep. So let's dig deeper into Boss Rutten and how to defend yourself when somebody wants to murder you, apparently, in a bar.
All right.
And grab a chair.
Excuse me. I will rewind that. Here we go.
Create distance and grab a chair. You can slam it into his face.
Okay. How am I creating distance to stay? See, that's the point that I'm interested in. You just say create distance. So if this guy is beating the ever-living hell out of me, how am I creating distance? Now, I know I can grab a chair at some point and hit them, but he seems to skip through the creating distance part of the whole operation.
Well, in this magical world, the guy sits there and waits for you to beat him up.
Okay, create distance. Okay, how? That's the part that I need.
Create distance and grab a chair. You can slam it into his face. You can stab with it. And while I throw it at him, I will kick him in the groin, boom, right straight.
What the hell is he talking about?
He's
you
got
can
long legs.
Stab him with the chair?
Sure. You take the leg of the chair and go,
And then you can hit him and kick him in the balls. As long as you've created the day. Because everyone knows a bar fight goes on forever.
Right. They're not over within, like, 15 seconds.
Every bar fight is under... Murray, you've talked about being in these bar fights.
Oh, yeah.
What's the longest bar fight you've ever been in?
I mean, I think, like, maybe two minutes, maybe.
Oh, two my minutes God. Is a I've very had a chair. Long.
2 minutes is a lifetime for a bar
fight. I got
hit
with a
chair once. Oh, I've been hit with bottles and everything else.
What did you do to be deemed worthy of getting
hit
with a chair?
We were beating somebody up, and the chairs just started. I mean, they couldn't stop us.
Why were you beating somebody up?
It was a fight.
Did they disrespected you?
No, it was just, I don't know, man. We just were drunk. I don't know.
How long has it been since you've been in a fight?
Oh, it's been at least like 15 years, probably.
Okay.
He was in a gang called the Demons. When I got hit with a bottle the first time, it's because a girl said, can you say you're my boyfriend?
That might be the worst thing you could possibly ask a man to do.
Well, I assume she'd have sex with me after that because obviously I was proving myself as an alpha male.
And did she?
No, she strangely left after I was assaulted with a weapon. She did not come to the hospital with me while I got stitches, strangely enough. She probably started dating the guy again because he showed such...
What if it's all at work? Like, they get off on that. Like, all right, we're going to do this thing. You're going to go in and say, you know, be my boyfriend. I'll come in and it'll give me an excuse to kick somebody's ass.
And then another time a guy hit me in the face and it didn't hurt and he ran off. And then he came back and hit me with a pool cue.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, the pool room balls.
But
oh,
man, but not not the... not the heavy side of it.
The like pointy the, side, yeah.
Like the pointy side.
Pretty chalk it up, yeah.
I got hit in the neck with a wheelchair one time.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a concert we were playing, and these people picked up this guy. It was a fan in his wheelchair, and were crowd surfing him across the crowd, and there was one a-hole who was trying to grab the kid and pull him out of the chair. And so we were, like, yelling at the guy, and he kept doing it. So I jumped off the stage, and I went to go after the guy. I did it after – I'm making it sound like I'm the – I did it after our guitarist did it. I followed him in. I was his backup. He jumped in to go after the guy, and I went in. And when – as my my guitarist went and actually got – like, started beating up the dude, and the crowd kind of united with that, I was at the bottom, and the wheelchair nailed me in the neck and almost, like, knocked me out.
Yeah.
Because that had to land somewhere. And
right.
The kid ended up being okay, but – it's a fairly random injury.
Yeah. It's just I've made a lot of mistakes as a youth.
Going to bounce his head on the table 10 times or something. Dong, dong.
Oh, my God. I would think on the fourth time it's enough. Like, it's just, fourth
this
time,
is like, this is like, a, again, it's like a little, did you make a fort in your living room too? I mean, this sounds like my 11-year-old making up a story of getting in a fight. And they hit him. One, two, three.
Gonna bounce his head on the table 10 times or something. Don't you ever do this. Right away you say, okay, I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
You cad. You keep lying to the guy. I mean, where is the honor in this combat? You say it's over and then you just keep assaulting him. Then did you play 500? Outside? This is like... Did you try to make a zip line between two trees?
Make a sweet ramp off the sewer outside?
Yeah, did you find some... did you find a construction site and make a cool quarter pipe?
I control him, you see? Knee in the head. I can bounce him against the wall. Everything I want to do. He tried to kill me, so I got to return him the favor. Watch. He's choking me and he's going to lift me up. Huh? I'm loose. Okay. One. Heel to the balls. Heel to the balls. And I can lean forward, forward, and go back with a headbutt.
Hit to the balls. Hit to the balls. Kiss to the balls.
A double D.
To confuse him. Hit to the balls. Hit to the balls. Little tiny tickle. His fight's over. Psych.
Yager showing up again?
Well, listen, hey. In an orgy, who knows? As long as it's warm, I'm down.
Bang, bang, bang. Don't you ever do this.
Jesus.
To the head. Somebody's telling me that about my wife. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm going to break your leg.
Yes, that's exactly it. How dare someone make fun of your wife?
So now you're going to be murdered.
You know what? Make fun of my wife constantly. The least likely thing that's going to get in a fight, going to get me in a fight, is you making fun of my wife.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
I don't know why, but I feel like it's like Ricky Bobby. I'll break your arm at the pool. Like, that's all I feel like. I feel like it's happening here.
Right. I mean, this is a big dude. He's always been in a fight, but it sounds like someone who's never been in a fight the way he's talking.
No, he's making. Do you think he did any preparation for this video?
No.
No, there's none. You make fun of my wife.
Somebody.
Oh, no, don't make fun of his wife.
About my wife. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm going to break your leg.
Oh, my God, they made fun of my wife. That is overstepping your bounds.
After victim is unconscious, I softly kiss his lips.
When the victim's unconscious, I take him home. I nurse him back to health.
Put a bottle pad on the table.
And then he has the, I'm like a Florence Nightingale to him. And then he owes me his heart.
Self-defense yogurt.
Self-defense yogurt. Hey, no pregnant. Throw the pregnancy test. No plus, only minus.
Don't you ever do this.
If you do it in a hot tub, it can't make baby.
That's what I've heard.
It feels like a seal.
just evaporates.
I don't know if it's not me, it's Stamos.
Bang, no, I'm not.
I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. Whoopsie-daisy, I made a mistake. Bang, just kidding.
Bang, bang, no, I'm not.
I'm done. Bang, 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 psych. The yogurt goes for days.
I know my things.
I know my things. Two nuts and a peener.
Oh, yeah, we know who he is.
All right.
Boom, a headbutt. Bang, follow up at a headbutt. Boom, knee to the head.
That's the Courier.
Is that what you do to Dave Courier?
Yeah, knock him and throw him under the car. And then laugh.
I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not.
Cut it out.
Cut it out. He says, I said, what do you want me to cut out? I go in any hole. All right. Very good. Well, we've learned a lot about self-defense. I hope everyone can go home today and start killing people. That'll do it for us with this segment. Here are the headlines.
Bang, 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 dong. Don't you ever do this.
Dan and I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Talking about the singles soundtrack and how incredible the singles soundtrack was. I don't think there's a clunker on it.
Yeah, there is. The Battle Forevermore by the people from Heart, the girls from Heart. It's awful. The cover and Zeppelin thing, it's awful.
Yeah, but you got to love Heart in general, though, right?
Fine.
Dreams is the only Heart song I like by them. And that was offered to whom? Bernie Taupin wrote it. That's the guy's name with Elton John, right?
Taupin.
Yeah.
He wrote it, and he was offered it to Stevie Nicks, and she turned it down, so he gave it to Heart, which allowed them to take the fat Heart lady and immerse her in water so her body could not be seen.
That had the two best Pearl Jam songs, in my opinion, State of Love, Trust, and Breathe.
I agree.
It had Wood by Alice in Chains, which is arguably a top five Alice in Chains song.
It's my favorite.
In my opinion, the best grunge band.
And it has meaning.
Yeah, and it has meaning, obviously. It's got Drown by Smashing Pumpkins, which is one of their best songs. Mm. It has Nearly Lost You by the Screaming Trees, which rules.
Yeah.
You could keep going. Oh, it had that one song by Mother Love Bone, which...
I loved Mother Love. We were talking about this off the air.
Yeah.
So you can call me... you cannot call me a poser on this. Is that I was super into hair metal, and Mother Love Bone was essentially a hair metal band.
Sure.
And I had Mother Love Bone's album when Andrew Wood was still alive. And then I heard the... First Pearl Jam album.
Ten.
And I hated it.
The first Pearl Jam album was just everywhere. And I thought it was good. It was fine. But it wasn't like life-changing.
It wasn't Nirvana. Like Nirvana was just huge at that point.
Well, Nirvana came out. And, I mean, Nirvana, that first album still... Well, that first album. But Nevermind still holds up. Yeah. Like, I mean, you go listen to that. That's a great album.
I wrote for the high school newspaper because you could leave. And I wrote about when they played the MTV Music Awards and Novoselic hit himself in the head with the bass. And I just... eviscerated that band. I because to me, I was like, what's Nirvana doing that special? Like, they're just a, like, they're a punk band.
It was the fact that the public embraced that.
No, I understand that.
I mean, that was because I know that the Melvins had been around forever and a lot of bands like that, but it was the first time that MTV opened up their arms and said, here we go. And in that one instance, it killed every hair metal band's career.
Their cultural impact, you cannot deny. But the idea that they were like a novelty or they were doing anything that hadn't been done
because
before.
They had one of the most dynamic drummers, a guy who beat the snot out of his drums. Kurt Cobain was no a screamer, robot. But he wrote like hooky melodies. Like he liked, in the middle of all of his songs, there was a song.
Yeah.
On top of all,
wasn't a great guitarist, but you rocked.
Who cared? You know, that was like one of the first bands where you went, "Who cares if they're a good guitarist?" Because up to that point, it was all about masturbation, and it didn't matter. The solo for "Smells Like Teen Spirit" is like four notes.
See, I think the Descendants were a far superior band, a much more melodic band, and a much more skilled musically band, and better lyrics.
My only thing about that era, though, about Kurt Cobain. Everybody else that was in that Seattle scene were all better guitar. Like, every one of them was like a solo.
Well, they were also
McCready,
better bands.
Jerry Cantrell. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
so
Soundgarden's a better band.
Kim Tile was outstanding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but have you seen him since he shaved his beard?
No, I bet it's weird.
He's like good looking.
Yeah.
So, like, Soundgarden was a better band. Alice in Chains was a better band.
Alice in Chains was the best band.
In my opinion.
I agree, too. I agree as well. But...
Seasons by Chris Cornell was on that album. Oh, my God. The two Paul Westerberg songs? Yeah.
And Chris was a star in the movie himself, though. Like, played like a stoner rocker, right?
So I love Soundgarden. That Birth Ritual song is pretty cheesy.
A ritual! The first Soundgarden album I ever bought was their first, it was an EP.
Ultra Mega OK?
Was that the one with Hands All Over?
Nothing to Say was the kind of song off that one.
Well, it was an EP, and it was like I believe it was their first release
before Outshined and all that.
Oh, no, Outshined.
That was three albums in.
Outshined is a great song.
Bad Motorfingers, great album.
No. This was before they were pop. Again, this is all Hit Parader magazine. I wasn't like super cool, but their first album was ridiculous. I mean, Chris Cornell was ridiculous at a certain point,
but his voice when you heard it. Could just like break glass. Like, you knew, like, that's one of the few people who has a perfect voice.
If he used it right.
And he did. And he reined it in. Like,
yes,
the end of his career.
He did.
And I know that you
outshine.
You always laugh at Hunger Strike. I love the end of Hunger Strike.
Hunger Strike to me is hysterical. Like, I love it because it's so funny to me. Because Eddie Vedder's voice to me is like, whatever. It's like, just whatever. But, like, I'm going hungry.
Oh, when he hits that, out hungry! Amazing.
I find it hysterical. And I always picture him in the studio with, like, one earphone on and, like, not in his head, like, I'm going to kill this now.
Well, Say Hello to Heaven, I think, is one of the best vocal performances of all time of any singer. Like, if you listen to that, Chris Cornell, especially knowing what he's singing about, like, it is killer. And I told you about, so we were lucky enough when I was recording, we were with a band and we were recorded by the same guy who was the engineer on the Audioslave album, which had not come out. The band just got together. And so while they were working on our album, they were doing stuff with Audioslave. So he came across town one day and was recording with us when we went out to Los Angeles. And he said, I have a recording of this new band that's got Rage Against the Machine and Chris Cornell. Do you guys want to hear some of it? And I was like, hell yeah, let's listen to it. And they played it. And what the track was, it was the music was done. But it was Chris Cornell before he had written lyrics, but he had the melody. So let's say it was like Cochise or whatever. It would have been like, like he was just making up words. And he goes, do you know how he has that massive voice? You know how he records that? And I said, how? And he goes, he sits down in a chair, like he's got this comfortable chair, and he gets positioned, and he says, bring the microphone to me. And you moved it right to his face. And those massive notes that he sings, he does it sitting down.
Wow.
Which seems nearly impossible for someone belting it out like that.
I have two questions for the room. Best rock singer of all time. Go ahead. Mr. Joe Murray.
Ooh, I saw Plant about a year ago, and I know he was like, you know,
he's whatever. Lost it. Yeah.
But dude, he was so good.
Okay. Robert Plant?
I just like the way he caressed his chest.
All but right. Chris Cornell live, I saw him at Avalon one night.
I'm talking. He was awesome. I'm talking studio everything because I have the guy that I saw live that has the best voice in the stretch.
I'll go. Okay, I got to split between two. I think Layne Staley and probably even more Maynard James Keenan of Tool. Mayor James Keenan of Tool's voice is perfect.
See, I go Mike Patton. Now, I don't, because Rich, you saw a lot of these, but we had these things like Live X's where it was an incredibly small venue with like 100 people. The best a small venue voice you've ever heard.
Cornell.
It's Chris Cornell.
No, okay. No. We saw him. Remember when he came and did that song? It was it's the best.
Mine is the homeboy from Our Lady Peace.
Oh, Rain Maida.
He was doing weird stuff. He was like laying on his back and like doing these weird vocal exercises. And it was like, whoa.
I love that album that came out. What, Superman's Dead?
Oh, yeah.
Clumsy.
Those are really good albums.
And Our Lady Peace was a really good band, even though their guitarist at the time was insufferable because he was like an astrophysicist. And he was like, I'm not even interested in the guitar. I'm into astrophysics.
I'm telling you, if you guys get a chance, listen to the song Right Turn. It's on the Sap album from Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jerry Cantrell, Layne, Chris Cornell, and dude from Mark Arm from... and I'm telling you, they all sing it once, but it's Chris Cornell screaming.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable if you get a chance.
And by the way, I got to take a little bit away from Layne Staley because, I mean, a lot of that stuff is it's the surprising. Harmony between the two of them.
Jerry, I think, is the most underrated person.
It was very surprising when I saw the Unplugged for the first time because I'm like, wow, Staley is only singing like...
Well, they had to give him dentures.
He
grinded his teeth away so bad.
He was
they didn't know if he was going to show up or not.
He had
like Kool-Aid in his hair and he was wearing gloves.
There's like a whole, like, there's an oral history of that Unplugged. And he was such a mess that they, as you said, they barely got him there. But yeah, he's like in a bad shape. Like was when he was.
They had to do some of the songs over because he forgot the words. If you watch the live version of the DVD.
Somebody said you got to put Steve Perry up there. I'm no joke. Steve Perry's the best.
By the way, the worst Unplugged Nirvana.
I like that. I like that one.
You like it after all the times we had to play it?
Yeah, I do. Because all the other stuff that's on there, like the album cuts.
Man Who Sold the World.
Man Who Sold the World's a good song.
It's a good cover.
Puke.
But all the Meat Puppets covers they did.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, when we come back, I just don't like Nirvana. And I find it fascinating that they were the band that broke. All right, when we come back, it's your chance to score a pair of 3-day wristbands. If you think Nirvana is too new... you can see the Foo Fighters and the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Boston Calling 2020. Early, specially priced wristbands on sale today at 10 a.m. at bostoncalling.com.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe Murray is going far too deep into catalogs of bands that are famous.
Yes.
It's aggravating.
I'll stop.
He goes to Rich and I, what's the best Foo Fighters song? He says, the one.
Monkey Wrench. Like, that, by far and away, is their best song. My Hero's a good song.
Dave Grohl's a great guy, and Foo Fighters are fine, but they're just omnipresent.
Yeah.
Like, Dave Grohl's in the Descendants documentary, Dave Grohl's in the DC Hardcore documentary, which I guess is a compliment to him, because he'll do anything.
Yeah. And on top of that, you have to thank Dave Grohl pretty much for the success of Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they were a struggling band. He was a fan of Caius, and he ended up recording that third album with them. And after that, boom, they blew up. Yes. So thank you for that. Now, Queens of the Stone Age, like, better than all the bands except for Alice in Chains. I love Caius. I love Queens of the Stone Age.
All right. What's-his-face is starting to become a little insistent upon himself. But
Josh Homme?
Yeah. I like him. I like him, and I like him personally, but it's becoming a bit much with that desert scene. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of 3-day wristbands to see the Foo Fighters. And for some reason, the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Boston Calling in 2020. And I refuse to say that that's a show that you would want to see. Early, specially priced wristbands. A bunch of old guys with their shirts off. Early, specially priced wristbands on sale today at 10 a.m. at bostoncalling.com. And I think Boston Calling will do just fine.
without my endorsement of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think that they'll do just fine, even though young Nicholas has been fired from that whole situation.
That is the biggest lineup so far, just for those two bands. They've had some pretty big names.
Eminem was a bigger headliner.
No. Than the Foo Fighters? No. Eminem could not sell out Fenway.
Eminem could sell at the Garden.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't think that the tickets sold well for when Eminem was at Boston Calling.
Well, that was probably... That lineup sucked.
Yeah, but right now, Boston Calling could sell out with those two names. Two acts,
absolutely.
There's no question.
But I agree with you. If Eminem was
Fenway holds twice as many people as the Garden.
Then he could play Fenway. I mean, Eminem could do Fenway right now.
I don't know if he could sell out Fenway. And I agree with you. He's a big artist. He's very big. But I don't think he could sell out Fenway right now. What's the last hit he had?
That last album did very well.
That one with, what's her name?
Love It When You Lie?
Yeah.
With Rihanna?
No. He's had, he put an album out after
that. Yeah, recently.
Yeah, he put out a couple albums.
So bad.
Fine, but it was a hit. And he did the Machine Gun Kelly diss track.
Yeah, oh, that was okay.
Who do you think won that? Do you think Machine Gun, because there's a debate if Eminem won or Machine Gun Kelly won. That is a debate that is going on. Unlike the Nas Jay-Z debate, where Nas buried Jay-Z with Ether.
I agree. Like I think
well,
Jay-Z's
there's no
great,
debate. The best diss track of all time, and I know you like No Vaseline. But
No Vaseline.
The best diss track of all time is Ether by far.
Mm.
It's so personal and so like you have to go to like Rap Genius to get all the references of how he's making fun of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when No Vaseline came out, though, you're obviously like, oh, snap, he's going out, you know.
Danny Ainge is calling in, and he's a huge Nas fan, so sure we'll have to ask him his opinion on this. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.